Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. Whoa. Way too loud. That's too loud. Okay, thank you. I definitely lost some of my high-frequency hearing going to a Motorhead show in Frankfurt some time ago, but about a million Americans have severe hearing loss at those upper frequencies, especially military veterans and people who work in noisy industrial jobs. That means they have trouble hearing high-pitched sounds. For them, turning up the volume with a hearing aid doesn't really work. But earlier this year, the FDA approved a new type of device that could help, a hybrid cochlear implant. Christopher Intagliata has the story.
Okay, can you hear me? Perfect. So let's just do the beeping sounds. Raise your hand every time you hear it, okay?
Allison Singleton's an audiologist at New York University's Cochlear Implant Center. She's sitting on the other side of the glass, giving a hearing test to her patient, Karen Ryer, here in the sound booth.
Karen, are you hearing it?
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Bill Shapiro, the supervising audiologist here, says Karen has perfectly normal hearing at low frequencies, between 250 and 500 hertz, but she has severe to profound loss at high frequencies. It's sometimes called ski slope hearing loss because of the way a graph of the patient's hearing looks.
We know in speech that the vowels of speech are low frequencies and the consonants are high frequencies. So Karen has all the access to low frequency sounds she needs, but she has no access to the high frequency consonants. And we know in the English language, consonants make up about 75% of the understanding of the word. The difference between carve and car and cat and cap are consonant differences.
To give you a crude approximation of what Bill's talking about, here's that last sentence again, but with a steep cutoff of frequencies above 500 hertz.
The difference between carve and car and cap are consonant differences.
A lot harder to tell the difference between cat and cap, right? Karen tried hearing aids when her hearing started to deteriorate in her early 30s, but turning up the volume still couldn't amplify those crucial high-frequency sounds of speech.
So here I am, someone's talking about Fios, and I think that they're talking about Paris, and I'm answering them, I love Paris, my vacation in Paris was the greatest. And meanwhile, they're saying, well, you know, Karen, what are you talking about? So it becomes really embarrassing and socially for a person who can't hear that you're embarrassed that you're going to, you know, really flub up this entire conversation. So it's a social issue as well as a medical issue.
In 2011, Karen had surgery on her left ear to get what's called a hybrid cochlear implant. Cochlear implants have two parts, external and internal. The external component listens to ambient sounds with a microphone. Then it translates that sound into electrical stimulation using speech processing algorithms. That information then passes through radio waves to the internal device embedded in the patient's skull, which stimulates the inner ear using a string of tiny electrodes threaded into the cochlea. Here's Bill again.
The cochlea is filled with fluid, and it's also filled with hair cells, little hairs. And if you think of the cochlea as a spiral staircase, the pole that holds the spiral staircase up in the middle is where the nerve comes out. So the job of the cochlea is to have those hairs move to this mechanical energy and transduce or change mechanical energy into electrical energy that the nerve understands. So what we're doing is we're taking the place of the hair cells by putting an electrode array into the cochlea.
Traditional cochlear implants have been around for decades, but they were for people who'd lost all their hearing, not people like Karen. Her low-frequency hearing was actually too good for a cochlear implant. That's where this new hybrid cochlear implant comes in, which Karen has. It combines a hearing aid to boost the low-frequency sounds patients can still hear with a cochlear implant, which replaces those missing high-frequency sounds with electrical stimulation. The FDA approved the device earlier this year after reviewing the results of a clinical trial including Karen and 49 other patients. Post-surgery, three-quarters of the patients significantly improved their understanding of words and sentences, but the procedure does have risks. Everyone who's getting this implant still has decent hearing at low frequencies, and that could be erased by the surgery.
When you put an electrode in an ear that's supposed to work a certain way, you're going to typically see that the patient's going to probably lose some of their hearing.
In fact, 22 of the 50 patients in the trial lost all or nearly all they had left of their natural low-frequency hearing in the implanted ear. But the device can be programmed to compensate for that. So for patients who suffered hearing loss during the surgery, their everyday hearing, using both ears, was still as good or better after the surgery than it was before. But electrical stimulation still doesn't capture all the nuances of the human voice.
When I got connected, I could hear and I could understand. It just sounded like people were talking like robots. But hey, talking to robots and being able to understand robots is better than not being able to understand people at all.
Les Atlas, an engineer at the University of Washington in Seattle, created this sample of how a standard cochlear implant processes speech. Here's the unaltered phrase.
The silly boy is hiding.
Now, as a cochlear implant would simulate it.
The silly boy is hiding.
Here's another example.
They painted the wall white.
And now the process speech.
They painted the wall white.
Pretty robotic, right? Karen would hear something a bit better than that since she still has some natural hearing. And the brain's flexible. Over time, it can transform robot speech into something a little more human.
As time goes on, one day, probably about a month later, I said, wait a minute, people sound normal now. So it was just my ear adjusting, and then in about a month or so, it does start to sound like regular speech again.
Bill estimates that about 1 million Americans have ski slope hearing loss, like Karen, and could benefit from this technology, especially military veterans or people who've worked noisy industrial jobs. But it's not cheap. Jay Rubenstein, an otolaryngologist and bioengineer at the University of Washington, says the typical cost for the device, surgery, hospitalization, and a year's worth of audiology support can cost $70,000 per ear, or more. Karen said the charge for her surgery alone was $118,000, though her insurance covered costs after she paid her out-of-pocket maximum. But many other private payers, including UnitedHealthcare, don't cover the hybrid implant yet, and neither does Medicare, because the device was so recently approved. Three months ago, Karen had a hybrid device implanted in her right ear, too, making her the first patient to have hybrids on both sides. And though her speech comprehension has improved, she says music sounds distorted and flat.
Michael Jackson will never sound the same as he used to sound because he was a high-frequency singer. For me, although the second boosted my ability to understand, it changed the nuance a little bit for me.
Here's the sound of a cello, for example. Now, as processed by a cochlear implant. Not nearly as rich a sound. The 22 electrodes on the implant can't provide what Jay Rubenstein calls the broadband spectral resolution necessary to enjoy the complex harmonic ingredients of music. But he and his colleagues are working on that.
We have speech processing strategies that can improve timbre perception. In theory, we could take, you know, a hybrid user, give them a strategy like this, and turn them into sort of a super cochlear implant user. They would not just have great speech perception in quiet and noise, and great melody perception through their low-frequency acoustic hearing, but better timbre perception also, and they'd be sort of the superstars of the cochlear implant world.
As for Karen, she says she's more than willing to forego enjoying music in order to hear the voice of her 3-year-old son.
Children are known to have high-frequency voices, and I could understand my son's first words, and now I can understand him perfectly. And knowing what I know now, I would never be able to have that experience if I didn't have the cochlear implant.
For The Pulse, I'm Christopher Intagliata.